This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Jay Dyer's coming up.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
People ask me, Alex, isn't it an act when you get pissed off? No. Now, do I let the dog out the chain sometimes to show you how I really feel? Yeah. Today, actually, some of it's been out of control, okay? Because as a normal human with normal instincts and normal intellectual capabilities, we're literally being conquered in a globalist war. And people are running around submitting like morons. There's a big article out from Dissident Voice. The mass is a symbol of subjugation. Big report on Band.Video dealing with all that. Dan Lyman will be back in here tomorrow with Owen Schroyer. There's a good chance I'll be here, too. I've got a family thing that came up, but it might not be happening now. Got a deal to help some family out. But I'm going to come in here this Saturday and do a special live report or a tape report. I'm not sure which one, but look for that during the afternoon. I'll be in with the Sunday show always, 4 to 6 p.m. while we're still here. Remember, around the clock, the Democratic Party suing us, black ops, fake investigations, you know, Mueller's had me under criminal investigation. That's still ongoing, even though he's gone. Harassment of my family, and I'm not bitching. I'm just here to tell you, this is a war, and you're the target. You can be old, young, black, white. If you're intelligent, you want Western culture, you're a Christian, you're the enemy. Dan Lyman, in the 4 minutes, 3 minutes we have left, other key points you'd like to hit and solutions or other things you're doing over at EuropeWars.com.
Sure. You know, going along with that point, the way that everything is under attack, and including the progress of Western civilization at this point. So you have everyone getting behind masks now, which is just totally bizarre. So it's very...
It's a Chi-Com thing.
Right. And you know, I think it's funny that, you know, a lot of people have been worried about, let's say, the advancement of the Islamic agenda and the promotion of the hijab, trying to get women into hijabs or even further into other Islamic garb. But now you have both sexes, everybody hidden behind masks. And so I'd say that in some ways that the agenda has superseded that previous agenda with the masks and all that. But going back to the point of just the way that progress is being rolled back, you have so many things that are being kind of pushed upon us. And I have a great example right here. The Berlin Transit Authority recently urged riders to forego deodorant so that it would force people who tend to wear the mask underneath the nose to get a little better breathing while they're on the trains, it would force them to cover their entire face because the smell would be so bad.
So they're encouraging people to harass folks.
Exactly. And also to be offensive, to smell offensive, to look offensive.
Be ugly, be dirty.
Right, exactly. So, and then, you know,
that's a leftist agenda. What is it about the left that they want people to be filthy and dirty and ugly just so no one respects themselves, they can run over you?
They worship at the altar of ugliness, and they...
I might start wearing, like, fancy suits all the time just to piss them off.
Yeah, take it in the opposite direction, of course. Yeah, you know, I mean, all these Antifa, all of them, everyone, these people that are camping out in these autonomous zones, quote unquote, or in the park in front of City Hall in New York City. This is filthy behavior. If you're trying to stop the spread of a virus, people shouldn't be sleeping in tents on the street.
But the news said it's helping fight COVID.
That's the new reality.
That's a tactic psychologically, though, to like juxtapose things and have oxymorons on purpose to make you give up.
Yeah, I think they really are trying to drive us crazy. You know, one of the laws in many states now is you have to wear the mask into the restaurant, but then you take it off when you sit at the table, but then you put it back on when you go to the bathroom. I mean, this is like, it creates...
It's all stand on top of your head and stick your finger in your rear end.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's moron behavior. It's jump 1 foot in the air and slap yourself in the nose. I mean, it's cult programming. Cults have people do this. And look, the Marine Corps is a cult, but it was for war and it worked. They have the guys do dumb stuff, too, just to see if they'll follow orders. But that's for military cult for a reason. This is a cult to go under communism.
They're trying.
The Marine Corps ain't telling you to cut your son's cock off.
They're trying to break our will and to also just to break our ability to say no and to just keep us always on our toes, keep us guessing about what comes next, what's the new rule, what's the old rule.
And instead, we should, you know, that's the answer. We'll talk about it tomorrow when you're on. I want you to think about this. We need to get them off balance and stop submitting in different ways, all sorts of stuff. I think before it gets physical, we've got to start going into the civil disobedience realm. EuropeWars.com. You're still on Twitter. Are you still on Twitter?
Still am, for now. At Citizen Analyst on Twitter.
Well done, Lord Lyman. Do what must be done. Show no mercy.
Here you go, buddy. Woo! Jay Dyer is ready to rumble. And he takes over in T-minus 60 seconds. But that's math, so that's racist. As we enter the critical month of July, it is very important for listeners and viewers to understand that all of the major storable food companies have been sold out of food for months. My Patriot Supply, our supplier, was out to an 8-week wait, not because they didn't have food, but because their 4 plants were backed up, packaging and getting it out. Now, they are at 3 to 4 weeks right now. They've gotten over the hump. Their other competitors are completely sold out or selling old garbage. This is high quality food. I would advise everyone to do what I'm doing and buy more storable food now before the next big hump comes, because if you think things are about to settle down, think again. The world is only going to get more insane. I've been telling you this for 6 months. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have firearms and ammo and water filtration, you better get it. If you don't have storable food, you better get it. Go to InfoWarsStore.com to take care of the water filtration and to take care of the storable foods. Get your orders in now before the next big rush.
This is Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis, and I'm hosting the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. Welcome back. You know, I thought today we would talk about some philosophical and spiritual topics at the same time. I want to talk about nihilism, the philosophy of our age. And I'm going to tell you what nihilism is, and we're going to talk about a book that's really good on this, that's really brief. But I remember many, many years ago, about 20 years ago, I went to this country church out in the middle of nowhere. I remember this preacher stood up, and he had that Georgia judge, like a Southern judge drawl. You know, he said, we've got people out here in the country of America, God's nation, and they are erecting altars to Lucifer, to the devil. And we're going to see more of this, erecting altars to, and probably even worse, right? And it just poured out like sap, right? Like molasses coming out of that whatever tree molasses comes out of, a molasses tree. And I remember sitting in the crowd and I was thinking, this is crazy. What? I was, you know, 20, 21 year old wild boy. I thought, what is this? This is crazy. There's not going to be altars to the devil. And this is nonsense. And then here we are, what, 20 years later, 2020, and we've got open groups out there openly erecting altars to the devil in America, you see. So I have to give props to that old country preacher. He was actually right about some things 20 years ago. But I mentioned a book. This book is called Nihilism. And it's written by an Orthodox philosopher, and his name is Seraphim Rose. And he wanted to analyze what he thought was the zeitgeist, okay, not that goofy movie, the spirit of the time, right, the zeitgeist of our era. And he thought that you could trace it back to these kind of Jacobin revolutionaries. You've heard Alex mention, you know, Jacobins, Illuminati, this kind of stuff. And there's absolutely documented evidence and proof of this when you go and read these philosophers' actual writings. I had a professor who specialized in that in my undergrad, and we actually went in, we actually read, you know, a lot of these original manuscripts and texts from these guys. The official history, a lot of it's actually public, too. It's not like people think, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. No, actually, there's a wealth of information in mainline scholars about, you know, the Bavarian Illuminati and this kind of stuff. Anyway, it's this radical revolutionary philosophy that was even wilder, you know, than anything else that we saw in, you know, the American Revolution or anything like that. They were like the communists of their time. And as I mentioned in past segments with Alex, they were influenced by Plato's Republic, right? Well, what happens with this radical revolutionary philosophy is the idea that we don't want kings. We don't want none of that stuff. We don't want democracy. Who's going to run all the stuff, right? Who's going to be the big boy, the big chief at the top of the totem pole running things in society? Well, we need philosopher kings. And shocker, who do you think Plato put at the top of running everything? The philosopher as the king, right? So if we have philosopher kings, the idea runs, then everything will function logically. It'll be ideal,
right? Plato said, what we got to do is pick out elite kids from the, you know, guardian class, which is the communist class on the Platonic pyramid there. That's the, there's three tiers to the Plato pyramid. You got the proletariat worker masses, and then you got the guardian class of communist soldiers. And then at the top, you got the philosopher king elite. And Plato thought we could draw out of the lower classes somebody, take them, stick them on a mountain for about 30 years, make them do a bunch of math homework, literally, just sitting up there doing math homework, studying geometry. And then you come down the mountain, right? Plato's not a guru in the sense of like a yogi rolling around in filth. Plato thought you come down from the mountain and then you take all that math and you stamp it into the city state. You force the city state into this perfect ideal republic as best you can, right? There's always going to be players, hustlers, right? There's always going to be black ops. You can never get rid of everything bad. Plato wasn't an idealist in the sense that he thought you would actually get this perfect society. But he did think that you could shoot for it, right? So this elite philosopher guy comes down after studying, and then he's got to stamp onto society, onto the city-state, this mathematical ideal. Now, what do you think might come out of that? Mathematics, techne, the Greeks talked a lot about techne. Technocracy, you see. It originates in the ancient Greeks, right, in Platonism. Now, on paper, this sounds good, right? If you're got a little dose of tism, right, got a little dose of that T-I-S-M, then you might think, oh, that's perfect. Why don't we all do that? Yes, let's have me, the king autist, as the head of the society, and I'll run everything perfectly. But if you know about that, you can't have a Spurg society. You can't have a Spurg empire because the world doesn't work on the ideals, right? The world works on reality. And reality is in flux. Reality is not perfect, right? There are ideals that we can shoot for, yeah. But every one of the utopian communist-type societies, from revolutionary France and the Jacobins, all the way up to any of the revolutions the last few centuries that tried to enact these utopias, the problem is that they didn't take into account the real world, right? That you can't stamp into a world that is in the process of change a perfect ideal. But if you're young and dumb, you can convince a bunch of young dummies that you can do that, you see, right? So that's the danger in this philosophy. The danger is that it dupes young people. When you're young, you're idealistic, right? You think, I'm going to change the world, right? I'm going to be the King Spurg. And I'm going to be the God Emperor, the Kwisatz Haderach, right? I'm going to be Paul Muad'Dib. But it doesn't work that way. Because the world is more complex than you think when you're 18, 19, 20, and you're brought into that kind of Maoist youth brigade type of stuff, which the universities absolutely teach. I dealt with this for years when I was in the university system, all these sort of crazed professors. But the point here is that there's a philosophy that results from this attempt to constantly try to set up this perfect utopia. And what it leads to, and ironically, Plato even kind of picked up on this, is chaos, anarchy, right? And that leads to nihilism. And in Father Rose's philosophy, he actually assigns stages to this, which I'll get into here in a minute, but basically, nihilism is the philosophy that there's not really any philosophy, right? It's in a way, it's Nietzschean. Nietzsche is kind of a nihilistic philosopher par excellence, which is not to say that there's no philosophy or that there's no, quote, truth, but it becomes a rebellion against truth. And we're going to see some of these crazy characters of the 20th century who are nihilistic, like Lenin, right? Lenin actually thought, Lenin would say something like, I want to blow up the universe. Like you thought, ISIS or something was a terror group. I mean, nobody could top Lenin. Lenin wanted to blow up the whole damn universe, right? So if we think about these basic principles and we think about how the ideals that people wanted to set up, when they fail, they lead people to these radical, crazy positions, nihilism. Now, again, there's a lot of professors and philosophers out there who are nihilists who will say, oh, you're misinterpreting, you know, we don't think that you need to blow up everything. Now, that's just one stage of nihilism. That's what I'm getting at here, right? Because there's a dark logic to these kind of atheistic philosophies that leads people into more and more consistency. Ironically, I mean, if you're an atheist, nihilist, materialist, there's not really any reason why you should be consistent, because there's no should involved here. Okay, should is a domain of ethics, right, philosophy. And so if there's no real universal ethical principles, then you don't have to do anything. There's no meaning in anything. I'm going to get into more of this in the next segment, but let's think about how this leads to what's called relativism. And what is relativism? Relativism is the basic philosophical presupposition of the entire modern world out of all of this revolutionary thought and atheism, which says there is no truth. Your truth is your truth, man, and my truth is my truth, man. Right? And whatever floats your boat. Right? But it assumes truth to say that there's no truth. So it's fundamentally self-refuting. More on this when we come back in the next segment.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD, powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer, JaysAnalysis.com. I was going to try to have old Sam Tripoli on, but he was a little too busy, so I'm just going to sit here and act like Sam Tripoli. Hey, what's up, buddy? I don't. I'm just kidding. I love you, Sam Tripoli. Shout out to Sam Tripoli. And if you heard me talk about that dose of tism, that's a shout out to your boy Theo Vaughn out there. Now, I was talking about the atheist approach to these things, and I was talking about how it leads to nihilism. And we were covering kind of, as a rough outline, this excellent book on nihilism. And I remember one time when I was going to a debate many years ago, and there was an atheist and a theist, and before the debate, we were all kind of in a circle kind of talking, and we were hashing it out with the president of, I don't know, atheist, Beaver Atheist Association or whatever it was from America. And he said something like, look, the reality here is that you people who believe in God, you theists, you're just scared. You're just scared to admit that the entire universe, cosmos, ultimately is just purely meaningless. And I sat there for a minute. I said, wait a minute. I said, so if all the universe is meaningless, then ultimately your life is meaningless, right? And that dude said, yeah, sure. I don't have a problem affirming that. Yeah, why not? So what? That's what you're scared of, wussy? Theist wuss? And I said, well, if your whole life is meaningless, then ultimately this debate conference thing that we're at is meaningless too, right? And he said, yes, dude. Yes. Exactly. Why can't you just own up to it? Wuss. And I said, well, if this whole debate conference is meaningless, then our conversation right now is meaningless, right? And he said, yes, dummy. And I said, well, if our conversation is meaningless, then aren't your sentences and arguments meaningless? And he said, why are you playing word games? Exactly. See how easy it is? This stuff is built on a house of cards. Now, if we notice that the atheist position, that the entire superstructure is built on nothing, built on a house of cards, then we can start to deconstruct this whole system as pure contradictory nonsense, right? Before we went to the break, we were talking about how claiming that nothing is true is itself a self-refuting claim, you see. I only believe in what I can determine from my senses, right? We only know what comes through five sense empirical data, many people will say. Really? Did sense data tell you that you only know things from sense data? No, it doesn't tell you. You can look under a rock, you can look in a test tube, you can look at a microscope. It's never going to tell you that there are only sense datum, you see, right? So that's an assumption that's not empirical. It's beyond the empirical. But the claim was claiming to claim that only sense data is what we can know. So therefore, it's fundamentally self-refuting. Now, when you start to realize this, and by the way, in the first chapter, he does the same thing that I'm doing right here. It's not that different. He makes these same kinds of arguments. And he says, all these people, by the way, who tried to enact these ideal, perfect utopias, they're missing some fundamental philosophical points here. And when you assume from the outset for your worldview that there isn't a God, that there's nothing higher, that there's just sort of matter in motion, anytime you then try to make truth claims and try to have ethical, you know, systems or whatever, I'm going to have a secular humanist system, right? It doesn't work. It falls apart. Why? Because you start to realize that there's no thing to build this on. There's no objective truths. It's all purely subjective, right? And so you'll hear, you know, atheists, materialists, these kinds of people. These are the people, by the way, who are indoctrinating everybody in the universities, you see. Right now, you if you're, you know, working a Sally six pack and Bobby soccer mom, and yes, I reversed it on purpose because everything's reversed now in our inverted world. If you're working at the factory, you may not interact with these philosopher creeps and weirdos, but I assure you, when you send your children to the universities, they are underneath creeps and weirdos for 4 years straight, at least. Okay, trust me, I've been there. I tried to tell my parents this years ago. They didn't believe me. They were like, it's not that bad. It's not that crazy. I'm like, Boomer, you don't even know how bad it is. They are like, I can't say on air what would come up in college classes, and nobody believes you until, you know, people film it, right? Remember these viral videos of the last several years, and people are like, you know, college, is that crazy? Right. It's beyond what you even know. So, even though you may not interact with these weird academics on the day-to-day, Sally Sixpack, I assure you that at the university, they are indoctrinating people consistently. And the first thing that they do in the praxis of indoctrination is to try to break down the existing worldview framework that people came into the class with. That's their first priority. That's the first thing that the professors do. How do I break down their existing moral framework? So the first thing that they'll try to do is indoctrinate with these kind of unchecked assumptions that I'm talking about. Like, do you really know if the Bible's true? Do you really know if there's anything beyond sense data? Right? They'll throw this stuff out there, and it sounds kind of smart, right? Oh, well, I guess science is, you know, done with a bunch of test tubes, and there's blue liquids and bubbles in the tubes, and I guess it's really sciencey. There's a guy with a lab coat. So that must be authoritative, but that's the domain of natural science, right? That's not the domain of philosophy. That's not the domain of the bigger questions. That's the domain of the smaller questions. I remember I had a professor one time, and he wrote up on the chalkboard, "We only know what sense data tells us." That was his first class. The first thing was that. It was an astronomy class. And I said, "Do you know that by sense data?" And I kid you not, he sat there for a minute with the chalk up to his mouth, just kind of staring off into space, like space was going to give him this answer or something. I guess if you worship space, you're going to look to space, right? But he didn't have an answer, and none of those professors ever did have an answer, and that's what I'm trying to tell you, is that it's all a house of cards, you see. And it's a house of cards that's intentionally there to make your children first atheists. But atheism doesn't hold people very long, right? Atheism doesn't have a hold, really. Like, it'll last for like a phase. And then the intention is to take people into darker things, you see. And you think that's crazy. Well, now, wait a minute. What did Lawrence Krauss say we are? Do you remember what Lawrence Krauss said? One of these famous atheist materialist physics dudes. He said, "We're all stardust." Right? We're all stardust. What does Richard Dawkins say? Richard Dawkins says, "We are all merely stardust. Perhaps, in fact, we are the offspring of queer aliens, and we were placed here by queer pervert aliens, and we are the DNA offspring of these aliens, and we must then perhaps also eat people." Right, that's a logical conclusion from the Dawkins philosophy, I guess. He literally says that, by the way. He says, "Why don't we speculate about eating people?" All right, God is irrational, but aliens are rational. You see how house of cards this is? That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to get across, is that this superstructure of supposed science and these giant concrete buildings with statues of Darwin and people out front, it's erected on houses of cards. That doesn't mean that scientists don't discover things. And I'm going to tell you more about that in a minute.
2020 is a very special year to the globalists, to the occultists, to those that are into esoteric mysticism. And they believe this is the year they're going to totally overthrow America and the world and bring in their anti-God, anti-human tyranny. Well, we're here on air And we just ask you all to realize that we're in opposition to this evil, and that only your word of mouth helps us reach new people. And I want to salute you all and thank you for your support. And I also want you to know that our 4th of July, once a year, mega sale is here. And we've got a bunch of stuff at 50 to 60% off right now. But Bodies, our ultimate turmeric formula. This is a turmeric extract, one of the strongest ones out there. It's so good for your body, so good for your joints, so good for your cells. It is now back in stock, sold out for over 3 months, and it is at 50% off. DNA Force Plus is back in stock. It's 50% off as well. Check it all out at InfoWarsStore.com. And remember, your funding of our operation makes it all possible. Plus, these are great things that God designed for you and your family's bodies. Please take action.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Jones Show. This is Jay Dyer, and I'm dosed up on that super Spurg vitality right now. I'm hype. Now, I was telling y'all about Lawrence Krauss talking about stardust. We are all made of stars. Now, who else said that? Oh, Aleister Crowley, by the way, said that we're all stardust. Every man is a star, right? Did you guys ever see that interview with Ben Gertzel when he was all with Joe Rogan, man, and he was like, we're all just molecules, man, in like different configurations, man, and we're nothing else but a bunch of molecules, bro. Like, I saw this on DMT was, right? Total nonsense, right? Molecules cannot tell you anything beyond molecules, and it can't even tell you molecules, you see. All of these worldviews are pure nonsense. Now, I was talking about
relativism. I was talking about how that's kind of the basic philosophy behind this revolutionary atheistic philosophy that the Jacobins, the Illuminists had, right? And it develops into these stages. You've got these stages, and it leads to its own dark kind of logic, is what I'm trying to say. So what do I mean by that? Well, every worldview, every systems, if you study philosophy or systems analysis, this kind of stuff, you'll notice that there's a certain logic that a system has. It links together and connects together, and every one of the parts relates in some way to the whole. Right? This is true of computers. Right? This is true of the different components and motherboard and all this different stuff, the screen, the keys. This is true of cars, right? A car, any kind of machine. It's true of ecosystems, and it's true of humans, and it's also true of their schema or their worldview, as we call it in philosophy. That's just the view that you have of things, right? We don't have to, it doesn't really matter about the fancy philosophy words. That's not the point. The point is that everybody has a worldview, even if they know that word or not, right? They have some view about ethics, which is just right and wrong, some view of knowledge. Can we know anything at all or not? And some view of reality, what exists and what doesn't exist. Now, even if you're totally agnostic, that's still a view, right? It's a view, well, I don't know, we don't know, nobody knows, who knows? But no matter what your view, there's a something in humans where they, over time, always kind of live more and more consistent with their governing assumptions or their worldview. And so if those assumptions are on the theistic side, then if you continue with that view, you're going to live more and more consistently with your theistic view. If you're on that atheist or Luciferian or whatever, that darker left-hand path, you're going to live more and more consistent with that kind of view, right? Unless you change or repent or whatever. So with these two different kinds of logics or systems, there's an undergirding logic that you will follow through with, right? Which is just called being consistent. You're going to be more and more consistent over time. And that's why you'll see this darker and darker stuff with what we're seeing, you know, with Epstein, Maxwell, that kind of stuff coming out in the news. That's just more and more degraded and degenerate versions of people living out their worldview, living out their governing assumptions of no God or I'm God, right? Apotheosis, that man is God or is his own God. Right? Self-worship, that's just what idolatry is essentially worship of the self. And so it's not just the individual that lives this out. You can also see this process in cultures and in civilizations. Right? Spengler, he wrote famous books, Decline of the West, where he talked about how entire civilizations kind of had this organic lifespan of a birth and, you know, flourishing and then death. Daniel, the book of Daniel, right? He has a very similar kind of analysis to Spengler in that he saw the successive world empires, these big idolatrous empires, as these different images of different beasts, or he saw a big golden image, right, with these different sections of the image reflecting these idolatrous world empires. And of course, the last one was the Roman Empire under which Christ was born. Right? Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 9. That perspective shows us that there are cycles. That doesn't mean all of history is purely cyclical, right? I'm not a Nietzschean. Nietzsche thought that. But there is a pattern. There's a cycle that we see in civilizations and in histories and in cultures. And when we look at the West, when we look at the post-revolutionary period and ethos of the West, what we see is this movement towards more radical nihilistic philosophies. And it started with that kind of atheistic Jacobin type of view. And it progresses over time. You get these things. Well, oh, so the naturalistic assumptions of, you know, evolutionary philosophy, that replaces the Genesis account, right? Freud comes along, and Freud kind of replaces the notion of sin or violating the moral law with confession and, you know, telling your nasty secrets to your psychiatrist, right? That replaces the older idea of confessing to God. And then you get people like Marx who replace the idea of what economics and human interaction is with class warfare in his day. And then later on, it becomes other kinds of identity warfare. morphs into these other things. Well, eventually you get, in the 20th century, the rise of postmodernism and the breakdown of all narratives, because there's a recognition that these utopian systems, these universal systems that people kind of cooked up and came up with, doesn't matter which, whether it's Marxism or whatever, they don't really work as they're classically formulated. So they logically move and morph into the next phase or stage of their alchemical development. And for the Western atheist ethos, as it adopted atheism in terms of these Jacobin people I'm talking about, it becomes more and more nihilistic. Great example, again, we look at Bolshevist thinkers and philosophers, so to speak. Right? We think of Trotskyites, we think of Lenin, as I mentioned. Like, I want to blow up the universe, right? Who comes up with that? What? I want to blow up the universe? And it's like, well, why would you want to blow up the universe? Don't you want to exist? No, I want to fight all existence, right? I'm anti-existent, right? And that's like the most fundamental thing to war against. There was a famous author who, I think he recently passed away, Umberto Eco, and he wrote some really fascinating fiction stories that are full of a lot of esoteric symbolism and whatnot. Name of the Rose is really good. It's got like a, well, it's a creepy kind of setup there, but this Sean Connery, and he's there with Christian Slater as monks in the Middle Ages, right? Name of the Rose. It's not that good of a movie, but the book's really good. And Umberto Eco puts all this esoteric stuff in his books, and then he comes out with this famous essay. I can't remember if it was in the New York Times or what, but there's a famous essay about meaning. Now, you remember I was talking about atheism and meaning earlier, right? Well, Eco writes this essay, and he says, look, all you fellow liberals and fellow travelers out there, he says, look, we got to fight against the real, quote, fascism. And he says, you think I mean, you know, dudes in boots and, you know, skull jackets or whatever, death's head type stuff. I'm not talking about Mussolini SS stuff. He says, we need to fight against the real fascism, get this, which is truth itself. Now, that took, I mean, Eco had to go through a lot of, you know, processes of that left-hand path. And if you read his books, he's very much a left-hand path kind of person, right? Who left religion, left, I think he was Catholic, left Thomism, left all that stuff, went into Kabbalism, went into, you know, probably satanic stuff. I don't know. Right. And then he comes out of it and says, you know what, Steve, from all this, we got a war against existence and truth itself. And he cites other philosophers, Deleuze, these different deconstructionist people. This is what you start to notice is that as we get into the 20th century, people throw off all grand narratives. Right. I'm talking about at the intellectual level. Now, on the streets, the dum-dums out there, like they think they're going to set up the perfect utopia. Yeah. But the intellectual class, they're beyond that. They moved into the nihilistic philosophy of there are no narratives that we're discovering. Narratives are all created. And since they're all created, we will create the narrative. We will create reality. This is where postmodernism actually becomes magical thinking, literally. You read Terence McKenna and his.
If you read Terence McKenna in his book Food of the Gods, he has a whole section where he says that the mushroom taught me that white people all need to die, and reality is made in our mind.
Back after this.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$50,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host for the fourth hour, Jay Dyer of Jay's Mountains. Be sure to support InfoWars and the products that they have. And also be sure to go to my website, Jay's Mountains. You can subscribe there. Get all the access to the archives, the lectures, the debates, philosophy, the geopolitics, the cringe comedy. All of it is there in one place. Or you can go to my YouTube channel, Jay Dyer. And also on Twitter and Instagram as well. Now, we were talking about these stages of the philosophical devolution of systems. And one of the things that Rose highlights that is something from Marxism is dialectics. And it goes back older than, you know, Marx. It goes back to Hegel, and it goes back even to the Greeks, which is the idea of, right, back and forth, left, right, black, white, day and night. You know, all these different things can be construed as dialectics. But in the socio-political sphere, we mean dialectical opposition that's controlled and manipulated. So in the Enlightenment period, we get this outbreak, and we're going to focus on the Jacobin stuff, right? The French revolutionary thinkers. You know, you got your Dantons, you got your Robespierres, you got these kind of guys. And Marat, right? These are more radical revolutionaries. They weren't all that radical in the French Revolution. Some of the revolutionaries were the nobility, merchant class, these kinds of people. So you get these two branches of Jacobins and Girondins. But the really radical ones are the Jacobins, and they were connected to the Illuminists, right? A lot of them had an Illuminist philosophy. That's the real Illuminati. And initially the idea was to promote just kind of a liberalism that sparked off into the radical liberalism of the Jacobins. And this is like, you know, the total communism stuff. These are the proto-communists back in that day. And at that point, you get the idea of, well, let's just demythologize. Let's come up with like a new calendar. Let's have an atheist calendar, you know, atheist civic saints, all this kind of stuff. But the problem is that eventually people realize that there's no real undergirding, like, basis for any of this stuff that's being erected. Right? So there's a progression where people start to doubt the atheist ideals, right? I mean, think about the secular humanist manifesto, this kind of stuff. There's two of those. I had a big debate with one of the premier atheists, Matt Dillahunty. You can go watch that debate on YouTube. And he's a big defender of this secular humanist thing, or the manifesto. But the problem is that eventually you realize, well, if atheistic materialism is true, right, and there's just matter, it doesn't really matter whether you follow the secular humanist manifesto. Right, and they'll say things like, "Well, but you know, it would give everybody a better life if you just followed these basic ideas, would it? On what basis do you know what's better? And especially for other people, right? I mean, you're an atheist, you're subjectivist. It's relative, right? So who are you to decide what's better? Maybe I want to be the God Emperor, right? I want to be the Kwisatz Haderach, right, to use the Dune analogy. I want to just stamp out everybody and take all of y'all's women to be my harem. And who are you to tell me I shouldn't do that? Right? What's true for you is true for you. Whatever floats your boat, bro. I just want to be the God Emperor, right? So you see how quickly that devolves. It doesn't work. So therefore, the secular humanist stuff is all built on sand. And eventually, the atheist materialist type people, that crowd, they kind of see through that, and it moves to the next phase, right? And the next phase of the revolution tends to be a little more vicious. It becomes more hardcore. You get the ideas of, all right, now we've got to, like, face the reality, right? There's no grand narrative. There's no real truth. So the elite, the power elite here, we're saying, they make truth, quite literally. We got to set up systems that will ultimately put the technocracy in. We got to get rid of a lot of people. And it's unfortunate, but it's just the way it is, right? Bertrand Russell has this quote where he says, look, a black death, right? We got to have a black death every few centuries. Why don't we have an engineered black death, which could kind of, you know, trim the hedges, you know what I'm saying, on the human crowd, just trim those hedges a little bit down to maybe 500 million, whatever. And it sounds bad, but who cares? Ultimately, we got to commandeer evolution. We got to steer it, he says, as all of his crew said, by the way. And he literally says that, and I think it's an impact of science on society. Yeah, it is. He says, well, what's how to engineer black death? This kind of stuff. Now, that's the next phase where they realize there's no grand narratives. We're not actually going to have this utopia. So we got to, you know, have the noble lie, Plato's noble lie, which is like a civic religion. Auguste Comte, you know, he talks about making up a fake religion to satisfy the masses. That's a lot of these churches are basically tools of the state, fake religions out there, fake churches. He says, we can have that, but in the background, we're the scientific elite. We really know what's going on, and it's unfortunate, but we can still set up this kind of, you know, a transhumanist technocracy or whatever. We can still set up this perfect system which will evolve to give us godhood. That's the second phase of the revolution, is this still idealistic but more realistic position than the utopian, you know, low IQ people on the street types, or the thugs, or the, you know, the people think that they're going to set up the Maoist, you know, perfect state or whatever. It's also a phase, right? So this next stage says, well, we got to kill everybody, put the robots in, let the bitch boss run everything. But then some people realize that even that doesn't really make any sense. And so there's a darker layer level that he argues is the real operating system of the whole Jacobin leftist left path system. And he says that's a Luciferian satanic nihilism. And he argues that, you know, the top of that pyramid, that that glowing eyeball up there, that's actually satanic, right? And that glowing eyeball has the rest of that pyramid duped into thinking that at different layers, they're going to get different shares. They're going to get different pieces of the pie. But even the highest layers of that are duped because at that top, the eye hates humanity. All of it. And it's not going to evolve you into being a robot so that you can live forever. You're not going to be downloaded into the cloud, all this nonsense, right? And by the way, isn't that like a genie in a lamp? I thought we had moved past superstition, and now we're talking about genie worldviews. Like, you know, I'm going to download into a zip drive. That's like a genie, dude. Imagine you could have a lamp that's a zip drive. And then if you could download into the cloud, you could literally be a genie in a lamp. Think about that. I'm joking. But for real, if we think about how this is ultimately satanic, then we realize that, wait a minute. If I'm being told that we need to be post-human, evolve past all of humanity, and that all carbon-based life forms themselves got to go away so that we can have this new silicon-based life form, which is what the transhumanists teach, then maybe at a higher level, there's actually just nothing but the destruction of the human race. Do you ever think about that? What if that's really the final stage? And that's kind of where Rose goes in this book. Now, I don't think he mentions transhumanism. He might mention it in passing because this was written a few decades ago. So he might have kind of been aware of it, mentioned in passing. He did mention like the Illuminati and this kind of stuff in the book. He mentioned those kind of secret societies doing this kind of stuff in the background. But what I'm getting at is what you often hear, you know, people like Alex say, which is that, look, there's higher and higher levels to this. And some of those layers of the pyramid think that they're going to get a share, a piece of the pie. They're going to be downloaded into the zip drive or whatever. And that's also another level of deception. Remember Albert Pike said that all of the lower levels on the pyramid get deceived intentionally? Remember when he said that? You think that there's not still deception even at higher levels? I mean, I've met some, you know, fairly prominent people who are well-studied, interviewed some pretty prominent people, who academics, philosophers, these kinds of people. Some of them, you know, smarter than me, really smart people. And they don't always have the full picture, right? You got to kind of get up into like a Kissinger-Brzezinski type of level before people really kind of have the big picture. That's what I'm trying to get at here. But even that is still the big picture in the human domain. Right, the geopolitical domain. What I'm trying to say is there's a higher kind of spiritual reality that, you know, Alex does talk about pretty consistently. And Rose talks about it in the same way, where he says at that highest level, the highest sort of initiation level, you could say, into the dark arts of Satanism, Luciferianism, transhumanism, is a total anti-human, anti-existence. Just destroy this whole reality, ultimately. That's what I think. Satan ultimately wants that, right? Non-being. Because if God is the creator, author of being, what's the highest level of rebellion against creation, against God? To go against being itself. Right? Anti-being. This is Jay Dyer from Jay's Analysis. Thank you for letting me host. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Alex Jones Show, and you can follow my stuff at jaysanalysis.com and also my books. You get signed copies of Esoteric Hollywood 1 and 2.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.